our invitation song, number 304.
I have my Bible marked, Acts chapter 24. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Acts chapter 24. I'm going to read verse 25 as a little jumping off point for our lesson here tonight in a few moments. And as you're settling back in and marking that song of invitation, finding that scripture, I want to take this opportunity to welcome all those out with us tonight. As Brother Steve mentioned, we got a good number out with us here this evening. We're very glad of that. It says a lot about you for making the effort and choosing to be here this evening. I appreciate your love for God and your brothers and sisters in Christ and your interest in spiritual things that has you to be out with us here tonight. We've come to the part of our worship here today where we're going to continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. And he concludes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. So I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint to my left, your right, and provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say here tonight. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom and teaching of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 5. The context of our reading here this evening is the Apostle Paul is standing before Felix and giving an account before him and his on this occasion, and Drusilla, his wife, on this occasion. And he is talking to Felix, and he's talking to him about righteousness, judgment, and temperance to come. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And it says there on that occasion that Felix trembled. I preached a sermon entitled that one time. Felix trembled. This verse has launched, I don't know how many gospel sermons for me over the years. It goes on and it says there then, Felix says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. I love the King James Version. That's what I have memorized, but that's not how I speak. I speak like some of these other translations, NIV, where it says, when I find it convenient, I will call upon thee. Felix, hearing a gospel sermon, hearing about the idea of righteousness, living in a right manner, following the commandments of God, controlling oneself, and one day you're going to have to stand before God and give your account. And Felix says, listen, go away. When I find a convenient time, I'll listen to you again. Another translation, the Good News translation, which is really kind of a paraphrase. One says, I will call for you when I get a chance. That's really the idea, isn't it? When I get a chance, I'll call you back. Then SB, when I find time, I will call for you. And I like the contemporary English version where Felix just simply says, that's enough for now. You may go. But when I have time, I will send for you. Felix says, when I have time. I preach a sermon entitled this very thing, but I go in a different bent. Just asking myself the question, what exactly was it that Felix didn't have time to do on this occasion? Ultimately, when it was all said and done, he didn't have time to be saved. This evening, I'm going to think about the excuse that Felix makes, because that's what it is, right? When I have time, I will bring you back. I don't have time now, but I've got so many more busy things to do. I'll bring you back to talk about this idea of eternity and living right before God and controlling oneself and one day standing before the judgment seat of God. When I have the time, we'll think a little bit more about that matter. I tell you, as someone who deals with customer service on a daily basis, as someone who has a great deal of customers that I am accountable to, over the years where I have had employees or where I have been manager over those who are subordinate to I got to tell you, one of the worst excuses that I just couldn't stand to hear was I didn't have time or I couldn't find the time. Because, you know, one of the things that I know is that we all have the same amount of time. Your time's not hidden any more from you than my time is hidden from me. What do you mean you can't find the time? I don't have the time. We all have the same 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 168 hours in a week. You have that amount of time. I have that amount of time. Felix had that amount of time. And what I want you to understand, I want you to admit to yourself for just a moment, a little quiet introspection, that when I use that excuse, basically all I'm saying is, it wasn't a priority. It wasn't something that I was interested in doing. There were other things that I wanted to occupy my time. There's other things I wanted to dwell upon. There's other things that I wanted to do other than whatever it was we're talking about at that time. I don't have the time. And what I'd like to talk to us about here this evening is I'd like to talk to us about the idea of some of the things that we must be doing. And if we're not too terribly careful, we'll find ourselves utilizing this excuse. Before we get into those specific points, I want to remind you of a scripture in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into a city and continue there a year and buy, sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what that we ought to say is that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it is sin." And James is saying, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. You're making plans that you're going to do it. I'm going to do it then. This is what I'm going to do. And what James is trying to get across to us is all you have is right now. You've got to make up your mind how it is I'm going to spend my time right now. How am I going to prioritize my life? And what I want you to understand, that in every second, every minute, and of every hour that we have through every week the Lord would have us to have, if we keep that in mind, then I'm not promised another hour. If you're at least contemplative enough in regards to eternity and your eternal soul, I think you'll find yourself making better decisions in regards to spiritual things. Paul said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And what he's trying to say there is right now, the decisions that you make, what we'll be judged by is what we're going to be in regards to the path that we're taking as we're all going down that inevitable road of death and standing before God. And so what I'd like to do here tonight is I'd just like to pick out five or six things that I know that are good that I ought to do. And if we're not careful, we utilize this excuse. The first I'd like to suggest to you is found in the book of Psalm 55 and verse 17. When there, the psalmist says, in the morning and in the evening and at noontime, I lift up my prayer to God and he hears me. I want you to think about this idea of prayer. The psalmist on this occasion says, listen, I have chosen time out of every day that I will spend in quiet, calm, deliberate time with God. I see an example of another one of that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When it says there that when Daniel knew that the letter was written, the decree was signed, he went into his room and he bowed down himself in his room in front of his window that was open toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. These people understood the necessity of prayer in their life, and they carved out time. Just like breakfast, just like lunch, and just like dinner. We're going to do those things because those are a priority to us in our lives. And what I want you to appreciate, so it is with prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 6, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. I want you to think about deliberate, quiet, calm time spending in building a relationship with God through this avenue of prayer. And he says, your Father, which seeth you in secret, praying in secret, shall reward thee openly. Paul, again, in Philippians 4 and verse 6, so be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I asked a question here this afternoon, besides what we've done here in our worship today, how often did you pray? How about yesterday? It's last week. How about this week? And I hear someone exclaim, when I get the opportunity, I will go into my closet. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, I've shaken my head at Felix as I see him make such an excuse for something that is so important, so valuable in his life. But if I'm not careful, I make the same excuses when it comes to prayer. But I tell you something else, and that is the idea of Bible study itself. Spending time in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, there Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, these laws and statutes that I give it to you, I speak it to you in your hearing today, that you should learn them, that you should keep them, and that you should do them." The words of God must be learned. A lot of people, I think, got the idea that the Bible is really just something that you kind of put some important dates in, and you get some sort of an invitation, you stick it in there, and you lose it. Or you get some flowers and you press it, right? Or every once in a while, when you want to beat up your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, in regards to some sort of denominational false teaching, we pull this out and look at the concordance in the back of it and try to find a scripture. What I want us to understand, the Word of God has been written and has been provided for us so that you and I would read it. And not just read it casually, but to learn it. And to feed upon it. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now I want you to meditate upon that sometime tonight and think about that idea. Why is it that you eat? Well, I'm hungry. I get that. But I want you to appreciate that God has given us that fleshly desire, because if you don't eat, it won't be very long. You'll die. What I want you to appreciate is Jesus is showing us the duality of man, both the physical and the spiritual man. That makes up the whole right here on this occasion. And he says, listen, if you don't add the words of God to the food that you eat, you are going to die. That's how important that is. And I shake my head until my head hurts when I think about Felix saying, listen, when I have the time, I'll bring you back. But how many of us this week will make the excuse at the end of it, "I just didn't have the time. I didn't have the time to go to Bible study. I didn't have the time to open up this good book and read it. I didn't have the time to feed upon the words of God." Study it to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I'm hearing you, Brian, and I'm going to do that when I have the time. I'll tell you something else. The Word of God talks a lot about the Christian visiting and doing good. And the idea of visiting there is not the idea that I'm going to go over and sit on your front porch and we're going to talk about everybody. What we're talking about there in the Greek is episkopotomai, and that is exactly the way that is pronounced. And it means to inspect, to look upon, care for, exercise oversight. And this is exactly what James was saying in James 1 and verse 27 when he said, pure religion, undefiled before the Father, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. He's not saying, listen, your mommy and daddy are dead and I'm going to come over and talk to you for a few moments. It's literally the idea of looking over them, seeing to their cares. In Matthew in chapter 25 and verses 31 through 46, Jesus wasn't just pulling words out, but the idea of this idea of visiting is found there when he says, "You were, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I naked clothed me, sick and in prison, and you came unto me." We were visiting. We were concerned about others. Two Greek words for the idea of doing good. Agathos, which literally just simply means something that you do in the benefit for someone else. And kalos, K-A-L-O-S, which is doing that which is honorable. Doing those things which are noble. And I want you to understand that both of those are talking about somebody making an effort, making it a priority, that I'm looking, I'm not a dead fish going down the river. If I bump into somebody in need, I might do something. I appreciate the fact if you did, but that's not the idea. The idea is someone there that superintends those things. I'm watching out for someone else that I might be able to benefit. In Titus 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, things that I will assure and constantly affirm that those that believe in God must be careful to maintain good works. Kalos, doing those things which are honorable, those things which are noble. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. I want you to appreciate that this idea of active goodwill and love and being concerned about other people is something that all of us need to prioritize in our life. One of my favorite Bible characters is Dorcas, Tabitha, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, "For she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." And in verse 39, it says, "As the widows there were weeping and Peter was there, they brought out the coats and the garments that she had made." She watched out. She visited. She did good to others. I hear you, Brian, but have you seen my schedule? Look, if I get a chance, if I have a convenient season, if I have the time, I'll get around to that. How about this? Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Putting God as a priority in all of our lives. In Matthew 22, 37, the great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." That doesn't leave a whole lot out. And what it says to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is the primary focus in everything that I do. The decisions that I make, how I treat my wife, how I treat my husband, my attitudes toward the church, how it is that I live amongst my fellow man. I always thinking the things of God, and I put that as a priority. In Luke 9 and verse 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me," was one of the 10 great commandments. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. And what it says, ladies and gentlemen, that if God is not first in your life, he's not in your life at all, because God will not accept second place. Now, I'm with you, Brian. My work schedule is just really hard right now, and I'm putting away for my college education and my kids' college education, and I just got a little bit more, and I can retire. I got so many bills to pay, and oh, my schooling is just kind of, it's just rolling me over. And if I ever find the time, if I just had the time that you had, Brian, oh my, if I just had all the time in my hands, well, I know, Brian, you sit around with your hands out looking straight in the air thinking, what else can I now do? When I have the time, I'll do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to put first things first in our life. Boast not of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. All you have is right now. Put God first. When it comes to letting someone else know about the gospel, I love Andrew. I love Andrew and what spoke of him in John chapter 1 and verse 40. He said, now one of those disciples, that is the disciples of John the Baptist, to heard him speak. That is Jesus, or John speak on that occasion. He said he went first and went and got his brother Peter and said, come, for we have found the Christ, which is being interpretation, the Messiah. And he brought him unto Jesus. We beat this. We beat this to death. We have an accursion board in the back. We ask you to make a check mark. If you find the time to be able to invite a friend or a family, and boy, it is so easy. Now, I'm watching shows that I used to watch occasionally back when I was younger. I mean, the Waltons, for instance. Now, that's some good programming, okay? And I've been watching, I'm saying a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I've watched those things, and the things have happened, and I thought, man, why doesn't Jim Bob pull out his cell phone and just let somebody know he needs some help, right? We live in a different time. We live in a wonderful time. We live in a wonderful time. I wonder what the apostles could have accomplished in the 21st century with the technology that each and every one of us have. I can communicate instantaneously, and I do sometimes, to well over 300 people in 300 different countries all at the same time. Can we take the time to be concerned about another and inviting them to come and hear about Jesus? I've told you the story about my father in Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 28. The really good Bible studies here, remember and see there, that's Luke 16, 19 through 31. That's the story there of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember? They both die. Lazarus finds himself in comfort in Abraham's bosom. The rich man finds himself in torment. And he's wanting Lazarus to come over. He's asking Abraham to tell Lazarus to come over and dip his fingers in water to cool his tongue. And Abraham said, well, I can't do that. Those who'd want to come to us, we want to go to this. Can't do it. It's a great gulf. And on that occasion, he said, well, listen, I beg you, send him back to my family. For I have five brothers, that he might warn them that they might not come to this place. Now, I don't know how many times my father had read that story, but one morning he read that story and realized he had five brothers. And I can still remember as I go by and see him. I lived in Orleans, and I'd go by and I would see him, and he seemed to be losing weight. And I thought, man, what kind of diet are you on? This is pretty nice. You lose a little bit of weight, work a little extra harder. And then he told me this story and how that he's invited his brothers up. He's going to preach them all the gospel. And he's worried sick about it. That he'll do a good enough job. That he'll present the scripture in such a way that he himself is not a hindrance to that. Two of those five brothers have passed on. One of those brothers obeyed the gospel. We're hopeful for the other two. Do you have the time to reach out to another in regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And finally, do you have the time to obey? In Acts 24 and verse 25, enough. Go thy way. When I have the time, I will send for you again. Felix, for whatever reason, didn't have the time to be obedient to the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that's going to say to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That means you know what it is and that you take the time to do that. Blessed are they which do his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city. Oh, of all the excuses I have heard in my life, I just didn't have the time. I couldn't find the time. It's probably the one that aggravates me the most. How about you? Because really what it says to me is there was something else you did with your time that was more important
than what I needed you to do. And that's what Felix was saying on that occasion. And you know that. And we shake our heads at that. But this week I challenge you, kindly yet firmly, to pray like you ought. Study like you should. Seek for good for others. Put God first. Invite someone here. And obey the commands of God. You have the time. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience who need to be obedient to the words of God. This would be a wonderful opportunity to do that. Maybe there's something else that we can help you do to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're willing to do that with you if the Lord will allow it. Sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now as we stand as we sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother?